Okay, so today is Saturday the 18th of June 2016 and we're in the listening booth at the Cumberland Museum. And who am I talking to?
Serena Patterson.
Okay, and where did you travel from to attend Miners Memorial Weekend?
Just from Courtney.
Okay, not so far then.
Not so far.
So, first of all, were you or are you a part of the labour movement?
Yes, I belong to the Federation of Post-Secondary Educators until I stopped teaching 5 years ago. So I was a psychology professor at North Island College. And before that, I was a member of the TSSU, the Teaching Support Staff Union at SFU. And before that, I spent a year living in Eastern Kentucky and reading everything I could find to make sense of that area. And that was 1981. And just trying to make sense of what is this place and what makes it tick? So I read Harry Cottle, and I read, who's the labor guy that the movie Reds was about? John Reed.
Yeah.
I read John Reed. And just kind of really formulated myself at that time, got really clear about which side are you on and what does it matter, what does it mean, and what does it mean to a working class academic.
And was that your first experience of thinking about labor history?
I think so. You know, I could tell you about my first strike, but
when was that? How old were you?
I was 19. I had a summer job cleaning dorms, and I would go and get the mail when we were on coffee break, and because all our boyfriends had gone home, so I'd run over and get the mail, and the boss was, I couldn't do that. I had to wait until lunchtime. And I did it anyway, and he fired me, and he fired me that afternoon, and all my pals sat down and wouldn't work until he hired me back again. So there, I think that there was something labor in me before I knew there was a labor movement. That was in South Dakota, and I knew nothing of a labor movement in South Dakota. It just wasn't part of my world.
And so you're from South Dakota originally?
Yes.
Great. Okay, so can you tell me about your first experience of Miners Memorial Weekend? What year was that you first attended?
Probably 1991. That was 91 or 92.
And how did you end up coming?
Oh, we lived here then. So we lived here for 5 years.
What was it like?
I don't know. It's not really what I came to talk about.
All right.
I kind of came to the store with a particular story.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
Well, I wanted to tell about an organizing experience in 1999 where we organized a choir concert of Vancouver Lesbian and Gay Choir. They came over and did a concert at the Sid Williams Theater. And this was kind of a big deal. This was the first time anything GLBTQ had been done that was like outside of potlucks. You know, anything that would have been in the paper, anything that would have been public, nothing like that had ever happened here. And it was a time when the country was debating same-sex marriage, which they debated, unfortunately, for way too long. It was a time when the big issue was Heather Has Two Mommies, at this book in school libraries. And the province was just like exploding with this, believe it or not. People were preaching about it in the pulpits. Carrie Simpson was a Surrey school board member and right-wing leader who was doing speaking tours around BC to inform people and get people stirred up about the gay agenda in schools. that year, I think it was 1998, she had spoken in Courtney and filled a school gymnasium with her paranoid ranting. The Catholic priest said publicly that same-sex parents, to have two gay people raising a child was child abuse. It was a really hard time to be queer and have family. And my partner and I were raising my daughter. She was still getting used to it. I had just come out in 1997. And so, I had this not very socially adept 9-year-old trying to navigate being the daughter of lesbians, and it didn't help that I'm not good at closets. I just can't do them. I just, I can only live openly. I really can. So I had a friend who had a friend who knew this choir, and they did tours, and they had a concert called Family Values. And we said, yeah, come over here. And they said, sure, raise enough money, pay our travel. We'll accept billets, feed us potluck style, do whatever you want to. And we said, we'll do this. And we're going to have it at the Sid Williams Theater because I want to see the words gay and lesbian on the marquee. Janet Fairbanks and Wade Bradley took me under their wing and taught me how to organize. And we had a committee of about a dozen people. PFLAG was just beginning, and PFLAG and the BCGEU people and the HEU people were really key in coming around and helping us with sponsorships. A lot of the businesses in town donated to door prizes, put their stamp of approval on the concert. We had that evening, so we had decorated the Sid. We had balloons and rainbows, and with that many rainbows, you can't escape having a unicorn or two. It was just absurdly like an 8-year-old birthday, and very sweet. We had about 250 people come, and it was so, this was so exciting. It's hard to convey the high we were on. We were coming out in the Comox Valley, and we had community. And someone detonated a bear spray bomb in the theater. And he was sitting in the very front side row, detonated it, and went out the exit. And so the theater was evacuated. There were, I think, 3 people were treated medically, 3 or 4 people, like old people and a baby. And we got out on the plaza and buzzing around, and I thought, I don't want people to go home. Don't go home, because if we go home now, this is going to kill me. I just felt like we can't go home. And so we started singing the song that the choir had opened with, which was Keep On Moving Forward. And everybody stayed. Everybody picked it up. Almost, the only people that left were people going for medical attention. The choir regrouped on the plaza and started the concert over from the beginning. The United Church minister from Comox, Maggie Onwright, invited us then to the church. We all packed up, went to the church, and they started the concert again for the 3rd time that night. They didn't stop singing till after 11. We went to Tita's afterward and partied till about 1 a.m. I don't know what these people are made of. We were all younger then. And we got up the next morning for breakfast at the BCGEU office, and the TV cameras were there. And Janet had phoned her labor leader, Janet had phoned her labor friends who sang and said, come and sing with these people. It's important. And they did. They came and they sang for us. And afterward, people asked, came to me and said, Serena, we need to sing. We need to sing. We need a choir. And so I pulled out the list with no last names and started calling people. And we started a choir. We started the Rainbow Choir, and we sang together for 5 years. And we came together, I think, with a need to transcend that trauma. And, you know, 5 years is a long time to sustain something like that in a small community. By the end of that, I don't think we needed it anymore, so we sort of degenerated into, what did I call it last night? You know, the petty... our petty phase, but we, it's lovely, you know. I think that was, we sang from 2000 to 2005. And this week, after the Orlando shootings, people started writing about it on Facebook. Do you remember when we did this? Mm. And I said, yeah, I do. And I think I would have retained a very different sense of trauma if we had, you know, if we had not had that response and to come together as a community. And odd, I thought it was odd at the time. I couldn't figure out, what is the labor connection here? Why is it labor? Why are these labor guys, you know, Brian and Steve and Mike and Janet and Wayne and, you know, why are they the ones who are saying, we will protect you? We will get bodyguards whenever you perform. We will be there. And it came together last night. Why? Because we have the same history of organizing in secret and of, you know, no last names. And the moving from that to public is a dangerous transition. Dangerous and exciting transition, and that's how change happens. So my labor self and my lesbian organizer self were all involved, and that's my story.
Thank you very much for sharing that. I really appreciate it. I think I'm gonna stop the tape now because I think there's other people. Yeah.